Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 7, if you would. We are at the very close of Jesus and the Law. We started this more than last week. I'm not going to tell you when, but it was a minute ago. And we've been, a couple Sunday nights or so, we've not been in this text. We did some special things, and so I want to close this chapter. I'm not going to close this topic tonight. We will actually jump ahead in the book of Matthew after this, but I want to close this chapter tonight if I can do that. This is Jesus' closing thoughts on the Sermon on the Mount, and so as hearers, they are brought to the threshold of decision. Can you imagine being in the invitation given by the Lord Jesus Christ? I mean, you are to choose to obey or disobey. You are to follow the Lord or follow yourself. It is either to believe or not to believe. And these final verses at the close of Matthew chapter 7, I'm certain you're probably familiar with. The Lord illustrates to us the necessity of building our life right. Do you remember the song that you sang growing up? The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built. You guys remember that? Anybody brave enough to do the motions? And the rains came down and the floods came up. All right, we're not going to do that. Stand, if you would. Matthew chapter 7. Let's read verse number 24, and we'll close the chapter out, and I'll do my best to finish these couple verses. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Father, thank you for the honor to be able to be in your house. Thank you for the privilege to have the Word of God. I pray that it would not just be routine. It would not be, Lord, just something to check off of our list for this evening. Take these verses and help us, Lord, to remember what is taught here. I pray that you'd use the passage to just stoke the flame in our heart of building our life right, and those who are on the journey of their Christian life, that will just firm up the foundation of the direction to be pleasing to you. Thank you for what you'll do. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated, and thank you for standing. We are in Roman numeral 7. If you've been taking notes, if you're following along, it is entitled The Matter of Decision, because for the majority of chapter 7, the Lord calls upon the hearers to make a decision. You've got to decide which way you're going to live. And so the outline there is pretty clear. It's on the screen. Now, I hope that's not an alarm for me to finish, because I just got started. So just want to go ahead and clear the air. But the future explained, the frauds exposed, and then here we are in letter C, the foundations examined, these last couple verses here in the chapter. And the Lord's about to close the curtain, leaving the listeners with kind of a question. What kind of person are you? What kind of life are you living, and how are you living it? Are you going to live on the stone, or are you going to live on the sand? And you really don't have the option to say, well, preacher, I don't want to make a decision right now, because the truth of the matter is, there's not really any neutral area when it comes to obeying the Lord. You either obey or you disobey. And here he speaks about how the wise person builds their life versus how the foolish man builds his life. And it's, in essence, the Lord is saying, now listen to me. If you want to be wise, listen, and I'll tell you how to do it. You want to build your life right? If you'll just listen, then I'll tell you. That's in essence what the Lord is saying. So let me just give you some of the outline. Let's jump into these verses here. First of all, I want you to notice the application of the message. He divides it very simply. Verse 24 and 25, verse 26 and 27, he divides them out very clearly as he makes a difference between the wise and the foolish. And it's not so much about all the materials that they used. It's not so much about whether they put a nail here or a nail there, but it's more so about the foundation that the structure is built upon. Now think about for a moment, if you will, the actual application in the message, and then we'll look at the pictures here in a moment. But the wise man takes the sayings of the Sermon on the Mount and he builds on them. Wise person takes what Jesus has now said for several chapters and he says, you know what? I'm going to build my life on principles like that. I'm going to build on what Jesus has said. The foolish man is familiar with the message, but he doesn't really do a whole lot with it. And there's some people that say that the Sermon on the Mount, this particular teaching, is really, it's Jewish and it's not really for the church. I mean, preacher, it's not really for our day. I mean, that was for those people in that particular day. Some people say that this is more for the millennial kingdom. It's a dispensational message. And so it's really not for us to make personal application. You know, it's just what the Lord is speaking about. I mentioned to you when we began in chapter 5 that some folks say that the Sermon on the Mount is too confrontational. It's really too demanding. And yet, this is the longest recorded consecutive teachings of Jesus in all of the Bible. In all of the scripture, here it is, this longest piece that the Lord has given, line upon line, precept upon precept. And the truth is, these sayings of Jesus are the rock on which we build our Christian life. And when testing comes, that which is built on the right foundation, everything will be just fine. Now, if you were to take the time and you were to just scan back over your notes and just look at the many different topics that the Lord addressed, you would be amazed and you'd be reminded, you know, the Lord really touched a whole lot about the way we live. I mean, it's pretty practical teaching. This is everyday Christianity that he taught in these few chapters here. And by comparison, the teachings of Roman Catholicism and the principles of Mormonism and the theology of humanism, sometimes they seem more beautiful and they seem more attractive than what the local church and what the Word of God has. But ladies and gentlemen, can I just remind you tonight, when storms come, all systems of belief that are not founded on Jesus Christ are going to fall. And so the Lord is reiterating not just doctrine, not just that this is what we ought to believe and this is where we ought to stand, but he's also saying, look, if you want to be wise, you should build your life on these kind of principles. So let's just walk through the verses tonight, and I would confess there's really a little bit of there's really too much information here, but I've got a couple choices. Choice number one is we just take one verse for one Sunday night and we stay here for the next 5 or 6 weeks. And many of you already voted against that just by the look you gave me. And so we're just going to do the best we can to try to mine out a couple things found in these verses here. Now, go back to verse 24, and the first word of verse number 24 is what? All right, it is here for a reason. Remember, we are coming off of the advice given to, or not even really advice, but the exhortation about false prophets and about false teaching. And now that the Lord has drawn that line, he has left off with the false prophets. And he says, now look, if you'll be wise, then listen to me. And this is what the traits of a wise man look like. And he doesn't really give detail. He doesn't really give 1, 2, 3, 4. He doesn't really give that. But he gives to us a principle here that the wise man builds on the right foundation, or he builds on the sure foundation. So let me just try to maybe put it into words for a minute and maybe just give us a little bit of parameters. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 24, through wisdom is an house builded. In Matthew chapter 7, this word that we're reading here, in verse number 24, the word wise man carries the idea of sensible or prudent or intelligent. Here's what a wise man does. First of all, he listens to the Lord. Now, I didn't put all these on the screen. You can catch some of these as we go through. But a wise person listens to what the Lord says, and he takes the commands, and he puts them into practice in his life. And because of that, his life has stability and strength in a storm. It's interesting how that in the Christian life, or just in life in general, you can watch two people deal with the same problem, and sometimes those two people deal with it completely differently. And most often that's the reason for what their life has been built upon. Some folks lose their job and they have a complete come apart. Others lose their job and they're completely calm and they're completely at peace and resting, knowing that God's in control. Some folks lose a loved one and they don't know how to grieve and they don't know how to cope and they don't know how to move forward, while others tend to cope with it, seem to have it all together, seem to move forward and not give up. Every piece of that, and we could spend the rest of the sermon looking at that, but a wise person takes what God has said, builds his life upon it, because that's where stability and strength comes from. If you're going to be wise, you're going to build your life on what the Word of God says. That's the kind of life that is obedient to the Lord. It is empty of self-will. It is empty of pride. Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Samuel F.B. Morse was the inventor of the telegraph, and one day he was being interviewed, and the interviewer asked him, he said, Mr. Morse, was there ever a time when you came to a complete standstill, not knowing where to go? He said, in fact, indeed, that is true. He said, I'll tell you that one night in particular, I prayed for more light, that God would help me know what to do next. And he said, I can't really put it into words, and I can't really show you, but I can just tell you, God granted me wisdom to unlock the secrets of what I would do next in this invention. And then he went on to say, that's the reason I feel like I've never deserved the awards and the accolades that come along with my name, because it was the Lord that gave it all to me anyways. He said, the Lord wanted to gift someone with this ability, and he could have chosen anybody. I'm just grateful he chose me. Boy, isn't that good? By the way, isn't it any wonder that the first full message that ever came across the telegraph was, what hath God wrought? Wise is the one who builds on the Lord. Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 5, a wise man will hear and will increase in learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. In other words, wise is the person who listens to wise counsel, who heeds what that wise counsel says. May 25th, 2001, a man by the name of Eric Weinenmeyer reached the peak of Mount Everest, even though he is completely blind. Now, that in and of itself is a feat, but it's also a feat that 90% of people that attempt to climb Mount Everest never make it. Many, many hundreds of people have died trying. And yet, Eric listened well to his guides, listened well to his friends. Every step he made was being guided along the way, and he was able to climb that mountain. Now, as silly as that would be, if a blind man can climb a mountain that way, why can't we listen to God that way? Every step of the way, guided by what the Lord would give. Jesus taught that wise is the man that listens well. And by the way, how needed that is today in an era when many people are just unteachable. I mean, some people, you can't teach them anything and they're 12. And some people, when they're 50 and 60, you can't teach them anything. And everywhere in between, and by the way, all of us go through some phases in our life in that, but listening is of no avail if we don't practice it. It was said this morning in our closing prayer of the service, Lord, it is of no good if we are but hearers of the word and we are not doers of the word. And it's one thing, by the way, thousands of people listen to the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ every Sunday. They sit in church services all around the world, and they have a pretty good knowledge of what the Lord has taught, yet they make little or no effort to ever put it into practice. Wise is the man who practices what the Word of God says. If we're going to be followers of Jesus Christ, then we must hear and we must do what the Bible says. Wise is the man who prepares for what lies ahead, because he doesn't know what the storm's going to bring. That's the reason why he builds upon the rock, because he doesn't know how strong the storm will be. He doesn't know when the storm will come. He doesn't know from what direction the storm will come. And so therefore, he builds his life upon the rock. Wise is the man who is cautious with his choices. Wise is the man that keepeth his tongue. Wise is the man that corrects a matter in his life. There are numerous places all throughout the book of Proverbs that speaks about the wisdom of man. Proverbs chapter 13 says, only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Do you know an arrogant, braggadocious person will create conflict. Somebody that's full of themselves. I mean, it's all about how smart they are, how good-looking they are, what the size of their waist is, and the height that they are, and all of those things. It's all about them. Wise is the person who keeps his tongue. With the well-advised is wisdom. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 3. Whoso loveth wisdom rejoiceth his father. Well, there you go. The Bible says that you bring joy to your parents by the way you live and the decisions that you make. Wise is the one that loveth wisdom. If you want your life to be blessed, then you will heed the instruction, you will heed the advice of those in authority. And by the way, I mentioned this in a service or two a while back, but it bears repeating, you need a good relationship with your parents. And the Bible goes on and on. Can I ask you a question? Are you wise? Are you a wise person? Now that's just barely scraping. I don't even know if we got to the surface. That's just a snippet of what the Bible says. And the reason that is necessary is because of verse number 25. So in verse number 25, he says, because the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. The reason that is necessary is because storms are going to come in your life. How many of you had a storm in 2019? Raise your hand. Of course you did. That's probably all of us. Storms are going to come. Many years ago, we lived in Florida, and if you were to drive in certain parts of the panhandle, you would see there were many different types of construction of houses. Some houses were built along the beach, and they could withstand the hurricanes and the floods, but others could not. And at times, when those hurricanes would come, there'd be rising water, and there would be waves, and there would be winds, and they take a toll on that house. And Jesus gives us an illustration here, and it is so personal to the Jews and the region in which they live. If you were to do a little bit of a study about that region in which they were in, and the valleys that were there, and the rivers that ran through, and these are people who would understand what it would be for a storm to sweep through the area and to be so strong that it would beat against their house, and it was a constant reminder to them that they are to build their life right because storms are going to come. Ladies and gentlemen, it may seem like pie in the sky, and it may not seem like it's your best life now and everything else that the culture wants to offer you, but may I just remind you tonight, wise is the person who builds their life on the principles and the standards and the separation and the doctrine and the differences found in the Word of God. Anybody that sells you the phony baloney that it's always going to be peaceful and wonderful is a liar, because storms are going to come. You can't predict them. You can't always plan for them. You don't know where it will come from next. You don't know how strong the next storm will be. And suddenly, when we think we're safe and life is easy, then in a moment, the rains begin to descend and the floods come and the winds blow. And the Bible speaks about the water trials and the wave trials and the wind trials. And wise is the man that builds his life right. Wise is the man who is willing to take some stands and be different for the cause of Christ, because the Lord knows where those storms are and how strong they will be, and the Lord is able to make us sure in the midst of those trials. By the way, storms reveal how strong your faith is. The storms in your life reveal how strong your faith really is. Lots of people talk about how strong their faith is until they're in a storm. They talk about how much they love church and the Bible and how much they walk with God until something's wrong. And wise is the person who builds his life. Those storms reveal who we are. If Christ is the foundation, it falls not, for it's founded upon the rock. 11 miles off the coast of Scotland in the North Sea is the Bell Rock Lighthouse. It has been there since 1811. It's been there a long time. And it rests on one entire acre of solid rock. The interesting thing about this lighthouse is that for 20 hours a day, nearly 6 to 10 feet of the bottom of the lighthouse is covered in water. When they were originally constructing it, the workers had but 4 hours a day to go out onto that rock landing and to chip away at that rock in order to build the foundation to build the lighthouse. It took forever. I mean, just about the time you toted all your tools out there and just got working, you had to pack them up because the waves were coming. But yet, ladies and gentlemen, after all of that work that was long and painstaking, do you know that over 200 years later, that 115-foot lighthouse is still standing? In the same place, on the same foundation. You know what that tells me? Sometimes building a strong faith doesn't happen overnight. Sometimes it's not easy, but it's worth it. It's worth it in the long haul to stand. And we may have a short period that we are to live for Christ, and so the Bible challenges us, take advantage of each day, waste not your life, build your life right. Now, in verse number 26, by contrast, the Lord gets right to the point, and he talks about letter B, the sandy foundation. He says that foolish is the man that builds upon sand. The root word for the word foolish in verse number 26 comes from the root word moros, which is where we get our English word moron. I just love saying that in a sermon. Here's a person who will not obey, and because of their choices, it leads them to instability and ruin. One of the places on the ground that many of you were part of, allowing us to be able to be a part of the hunting club, one of the places there, you have to drive through what they call the sand pit. And you can't get there unless you have four-wheel drive, and depending upon if you're driving a Ford or a Chevy, you might not get there anyways. You just decide. I'm just telling you that's what it is. And it's amazing because driving out of the off of the asphalt and onto the rock and off of the rock, onto the sand, your truck just sinks. And it just spins sometimes. And sometimes it feels like you're just digging and digging, and maybe it'll catch a rock or it'll catch a solid space and it will move on. And it's interesting that that place is still there, but yet nothing has ever been built around it that's standing. There's a few structures along the edge of the fence, and they're all dilapidated and they're falling down. And the reason for that is every time it rains, the rain washes that sand back flat again, and you can't see the tracks in the road, and you're not sure where to go. And every time that it rains, it starts the process all over. That's what the Lord is illustrating here. Here's a person whose life is so unstable, they shift with man's opinion, they shift with the fads, they shift with the philosophies. Whatever the theme of the day is, that's the way they're going to go. It's interesting that sand will often be moved by water. And when water comes, it has the ability to shift sand. And so the Lord gives this picture of a foolish man who builds his house or the foundation of his life on the sand. All right, it begs the question, what does the foolish man look like? What are the traits of a foolish man? And building on the sand speaks of taking shortcuts in your life. You ever see in home construction where a builder has taken a shortcut? Now, maybe in your house you have some of those. Those of you guys that are engineers and those of you that are builders and framers, it just drives you out of your tree because you're like, I don't know why they didn't make that corner square. And if you've ever been a part of that, you know that sometimes taking those shortcuts is dangerous. Did you know that speed is not always synonymous with success? And so the foolish man speaks about taking those shortcuts. It's interesting that the flesh wants everything right now and does not want to wait on the Lord's best. That's why the culture says you can go ahead and have sexual relationship with whoever you want to. You don't need to wait for marriage. You don't need to keep yourself pure. It doesn't really matter if a person's married or not. They can just shack up or they can live together. And you just do what you want to please you now. That's a shortcut to God's ultimate plan of purity. And God's ultimate plan of success in a relationship. John Tillotson said in the 1600s, "He who provides for this life but takes no care for eternity is wise for a moment, but a fool forever." There's the sands of shortcuts. There's the sands of slothfulness. May the 5th, 2004, in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, there was a terrorist scare. The Pennsylvania Transit Authority discovered something frightening along the train tracks. They saw what looked like an electronic transmitter alongside some of the tracks connecting the rail yards. And so immediately they called in Homeland Security and they called in the FBI, and everybody was put on lockdown there, and all the employees were in a place of detainment, and they did all kinds of research and spent about a day or so trying to approach the object and trying to disarm the object. And finally they realized it was nothing more than a motion detector that was sending a signal somewhere. So they tracked the signal down, and they found that it was a train mechanic who had set this up, and there was a signal beacon in the little office, little compartment where he was. Finally, he came forward, and he was honest. And was he a terrorist? Was he a disgruntled employee? No, none of those. He was a mechanic working the graveyard shift, and he installed the motion detector so that he could sleep at night, and it went off when his boss came by. By the way, he got in trouble for that. Now, that kind of slothfulness happens every day. When you are lazy, you're building your life on sinking sand. The foolish man is sloppy. The foolish man is hasty. He doesn't care much about quality. He puts forth little effort. The foolish man takes those shortcuts. The foolish man shuts out God. The foolish man, the Bible says, despises his parents. And you better establish and keep good records and good relationships with those that are in authority. The foolish man cuts off the accountability with the authority in his life. Those are all sinking sands. Then there's the sands of stubbornness. In the 1980s in Colorado, there were several people on a roadway that begged a trucker to free up a CB channel so that they could put through an emergency call. It's a little different than what we have now because we'd all just use our cell phones. But back then, they flagged this man down and they tried to get him to free up that channel so they could put through an emergency call. But the man driving the truck refused and went on. And what they were trying to do was direct a doctor to the scene of a serious accident where a car had drove up into the rear of a flatbed truck, a truck that was carrying metal tubing, and one of those pieces of tubing had gone through the windshield and pinned a lady in the car to the seat, to her seat back. And all they wanted to do was to get that channel free so that they could direct the doctor to the scene of the accident. And the trucker refused. He was stubborn and said, "You're not getting my channels. I'm still in the midst of some things." And finally, when he showed up on the scene, to his dismay, the critically injured lady was his own wife. The doctor on the scene, when he arrived, pronounced her dead and said, "If I would have had 10 more minutes, I would have been able to save her life." Now, that's just stubborn. And the reality is that sometimes we're pretty stubborn about our way. Now, here's the thing, and I don't have time to elaborate all this. I know what time it is. But it's amazing to me how sometimes arguments will go on in your marriage just simply because you're going to stand your ground and you're going to be stubborn. You stand that ground all you want to, but it's sandy ground that's going to sink. Silly. Foolish. You stand that ground all you want to in the workplace, and I realize there's a place for standing up for right, and I'm not taking away from that, but I'm simply saying that sometimes the sands of stubbornness cause us to sink when we ought to be standing. Then there are the sands of sin. There's the sands of sexual immorality. They will all catch up to us in foolish living. And the Bible says, great was the fall of it. When it finally does collapse, it's a big deal. And when it does collapse, it's not like the Lord will say, "I told you so," but it's as if the Scripture says, "You've been told." It'd be bad for the foolish man who does not listen, for ruin will come. Now, the chapter closes with number two, this astonishment. Notice these last couple verses. If you have the words of Christ in red, they end in verse 27. And the Bible says, and it came to pass when Jesus ended these sayings, that people were astonished at his doctrine. They had never heard anything like that. Here comes Jesus, and he has blown away the tradition of the rabbis and the scribes. And the reason is, he spoke with authority, and he spoke with power. He did away with what they heard in the synagogue. It couldn't compare. In fact, so much so, they were dumbfounded because it was fearless and it was straightforward. Now, wait a minute, ladies and gentlemen. This wasn't some wimpy little WWJD bracelet and some little feminine tone that Jesus stood and spoke to them. You're talking about with command and power, because Jesus knew what he was talking about. And you know, our world could use a little dose of that, because many times men who are not afraid to preach the word of God with authority are often under attack by your family members and by your co-workers, and they say, oh, you go to one of those kind of churches, one of those churches where the preacher raises his voice and he gets all squirrely ways and all that. Ladies and gentlemen, read your Bible. Jesus wasn't no limp-wristed, feminine talking person. He spoke with power and authority, and the Sermon on the Mount was fearless and to the point. To the point that people were astonished. I had never heard that. Now, preaching's not putting on a show. Preaching's not just so that someone will be wowed by the preacher. That's not what preaching is. But wait a minute. I hope there never comes a day when this preacher gets moved by the fact that somebody got their feelings hurt because I raised my voice. Or because I wouldn't back down from what the Word of God said. God give us men who stand behind the pulpit and with authority and power preach the Word of God. That's what Jesus did. And he brings them to a place, are you going to live on stone or sand? Now's the time. It's decision time. Don't waste the opportunities. Make them count. For great is the fall of it. Father, thank you for the Word of God. And this is a passage of Scripture that we know very well. And yet, so many times, we need to be rallied around the Word of God. And we need our faith strengthened and shored up so that we'll be bold in our stand for Christ. I pray that all around this room tonight there'd be Christians who would be revived in their spirit, who would be, Lord, excited and bold about their stand for Christ, knowing that when we stand on the Word of God, we're making the right stand. Help us, Lord, to do so, I pray. Heads are bowed. And